Ladies, appreciate that. And I want to thank the worship team, too. We sang this song a number of times this morning, we believe. I think it's a tremendous, tremendous worship song for us to proclaim to God and affirm again our faith. And it was my request, and they have worked hard at that, hours, to get that where they needed to, and I'm grateful for that. Those in junior church may be dismissed. We've gathered today to worship the Lord. We are also reminded that we are one family in heaven and on earth, and that the Lord is at work bringing men and women, boys and girls to faith all across the world. We're a part of the church, which isn't a building, it's the body of Christ, and it's not just here, but it is across the world. We have two individuals here today that have traveled a lot of miles and have left a very warm, comfortable place to come to the UP to enjoy some 15 below zero weather where you don't have to worry about mosquitoes or malaria because they can't survive that. We have a connection with them. We have a connection with them. I think it's the last 6 years, I think we've had eight individuals or so go and be a part of their ministry, of what God's doing in Uganda. And he is working in a fabulous way. The Spirit of God is bringing many individuals to faith. And we recognize today that our Lord's alive. He's risen from the dead. He's risen again. He's risen again. Amen. And we serve a living Christ who said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he's still doing that. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And we've been able to plug in to this ministry in some ways with Pastor Morris and his wonderful wife, Ida. And so I'm going to ask Ida to come, and she's going to share in music. And then Pastor Morris, or maybe they're going to come together, I don't know. But, you know, we need to give them a warm, warm welcome, right?
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. I'm really grateful to stand before you today. Thank you so much, Pastor, and the elders of this church, for giving us this opportunity to stand before your congregation. We are really privileged. I'm going to be sharing about my testimony today in the evening. But, you know, as I was a Muslim, and what God has done in my life makes me to sing for him. I'm not a good singer, but I like singing. And one thing, when the first day I went to church, the first thing I liked in the church was the singing, the praising God. So I'm going to be singing one song, I think before Morris comes, and says it was 2,000 years ago when Christ came on earth. It was just 2,000 years ago he walked through Galilee. The eternal God has stepped below in human form to be. Born of a lowly Hebrew maid, a carpenter he was by trade. God came down 2,000 years ago. They tell of Jesus' story, who met him on the way. And tis not an idle story, for he lives in me today. He gives me peace and purpose true, a father's old but ever new. God came down 2,000 years ago. It was just 2,000 years ago he died at Calvary. It was for sin he suffered so, though innocent was he. My sin and guilty on his head, my penalty he bore instead. He suffered 2,000 years ago. They tell of Jesus' story, who met him on the way. And tis not an idle story, for he lives in me today. He gives me peace and purpose true, a father's old but ever new. God came down 2,000 years ago. It was just 2,000 years ago the empty tomb was found. The stone was rolled away. We know the powers of hell abound. My risen Lord is now on high. He lives that we may never die. He triumphed 2,000 years ago. They tell of Jesus' story, who met him on the way. And is it not an idle story, for he lives in me today. He gives me peace and purpose true, a path that's old but ever new. God came down 2,000 years ago. It was just 2,000 years ago, he died at Calvary. It was for sin he suffered so, though innocent was he. My sin and guilt on his head, my penalty he bore instead. He suffered 2,000 years ago. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ida. Appreciate that. For not being able to sing, that was pretty good. Pastor Morris, will you come and share?
Thank you. I want to thank the church, the congregation. I want to thank the pastor, the elders, the deacons, and other leaders. Thank you for sending people to our country. Through those people, we have come. Here we are. And thank you for having us. I'm a church planter. That's what I do. People who are here this morning, I told them we have planted 108 churches from the year 2000. And we give God glory for that. We have a Bible college where we train people. We have 45 students. We have orphanage where we keep the children, because we have orphans in Uganda, 4 million, so we are caring. We have a Choose You. We have 60 children. We drill well for our people. So, I want to just say thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to stand before your congregation. And I'm going to speak to you. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, from verse 1 to 8. Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 1 to 8. Thank you very much, Pastor. Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 8. What I want to talk about today is your responsibility as a believer in Christ. Your responsibility as a believer in Christ. And the question which comes today, have you been called? Have you taken your responsibility? That is the question. Have you been called? Have you taken your responsibility? Have you started doing the work or no? I know by the time I end, I would love you to say, I'm going to do it. When you look at the Old Testament, God called the prophets. And when he called them, he sent them and he told them, go and tell people to come back to me. That was the responsibility. They were to tell people to come. Jesus Christ, when he came from heaven to this world where we are living today. The Bible says when he was starting a ministry, the Bible says he called the disciples, the 12 of them. The disciples were fishermen. They were fishermen. As I told you this morning, I was a fisherman, so I know how to fish. Jesus called the disciples and he told them, today, I'm going to change your profession. So I know today I'm going to talk to men. Others may be teachers. Others may be doctors. Others may be, I don't know, whatever profession you are. I'm going to talk to you. So Jesus, when he called this man, he told them, from this day, he told them, I'm going to change your profession. You'll be fisher of men. And he called in the kingdom. And that's what I want to share with you today. What is your responsibility? Majority of people think God has called us to take us to heaven. That is not the reason why God has called us. If that is the reason, then why should we be here? People are suffering. People are living in pain. You know, why should Jesus leave us here? To do what? There must be a responsibility why we're here. Now, I want you to go with me in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet. God called Isaiah to be a prophet during the time of King Uzziah. Uzziah was a great man and he was a king. The Bible says he fought many wars. And everyone respected him and everyone honored him. And that's the time when God called Isaiah to be the prophet. But Isaiah today is speaking to us. And Isaiah is saying, when Uzziah died is when I see the king. When Uzziah died is when I see the king. And he's trying to describe that who is this king. This king was Jesus Christ seated on the throne. He said, when Uzziah died, I saw the king seated on the throne. Uplifted eye. His train, the train of his robe, fills the temple. The train of his robe fills the temple. And Isaiah said that above him were the seraphims. And these seraphims, each of them had six wings. Two for flying, two for covering their face, and two for covering their feet. These seraphims, since God created them, they have never seen the face of the Lord. That means they are not 100% holy. God is 100% holy. I want you just to look at the seraphims before God. That since God created them, they have never seen the face of the Lord. Because the Bible says they are covering their face. But this is what the Bible says. The Bible says these seraphims, they were calling upon each other. They were worshiping God. And these are the words. They were saying, holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. The whole world is full with his glory. They were worshiping God day and night. The question comes to you. How many times do you praise the name of the Lord? Is it only on Sunday? What about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Sometimes we don't even worship God when we are going to eat. We just eat the food. But I want just you see the seraphims. They are worshiping God day and night and say, holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. The whole world is full, covered with his glory. I want you to know today, there's no man in this world living without God. Either he's a believer or he's not a believer. It is because of the being of God we exist, we live, we walk, we talk, we sleep, we wake up in the morning and we go to work. Without God, there will be no world. Without God, you wouldn't exist. That means all our life, the totality of your life is in God. But I want you just to see how God is so good. Some of you sleep at night when your mouth are open. Have you ever one day wake up in the morning and you find some bugs in your mouth when you are sleeping? Who keeps your mouth? God. Look how God is good. He's a good God. He covered the whole universe. He wakes you in the morning to go to work. All the works you have done, I want you to know as a believer, it's God who gives you strength. It's God who wakes you up. Without God, we can't exist. Without God, the world cannot be there. Without God, there's nothing in this world. When we know that, we'll worship that God. Just as angels are worshiping him day and night, they were saying, "Holy, holy is God Almighty." And the Bible, Isaiah is seeing what is going on. And Isaiah say, after he had heard this shouting, Isaiah cried and said, "Woe unto me, a man of unclean limbs, living among the people of unclean limbs." That is Isaiah. You know what? Isaiah thought he was done. But here Isaiah is discovering, I am undone. Whatever good I've done is like a filth rag before God, because Isaiah say, "Woe unto me." This is a son, a man, a prophet who knows who God. He said, as they were shouting and crying, he said, the door and the threshold got open, and he saw the smoke. And when I saw the smoke, he started crying in tears. I'm a man of unclean limbs. I live among the people who speak, who are having unclean limbs. I have seen the king. That is Isaiah. I have seen the king. The Bible says Isaiah received the cleansing. And as Isaiah was waiting, and he was crying in tears, one of the seraphim flew from the altar with a living coal and with a tongue of fire, and touched his limbs. And he told Isaiah, "This has touched your limbs. Your sins have been forgiven. Your sins have been turned for." And the Bible says, as Isaiah was waiting, he had a voice. And this was the voice. "Whom shall we send? Who will go for us?" Isaiah said, "Lord, I am here. Send me." He did not say, "Whom do I go with?" Isaiah said, "Lord, I'm here. Send me." Why had he not gone before? Because Hosea was living. Hosea was everything for him. He never knew there's somebody greater than Hosea. And you may be one who don't know there's somebody greater than who you are, or to somebody whom you trust more. But after that cleansing, he had that voice. What is Hosea in your life? Hosea can be anything you love more than God. It may be a business, it may be money, it may be something before you which you love more than God. That can be Hosea check your life and ask, which one do you love more? What do you love more? Sometimes we love the world and God. And that's why when we talk about sometimes the things of God, now I want you to ask a question. Whenever somebody is going to buy his vehicle, he tells everybody, don't you? You're happy. I'm going to buy a new car. I tell you, this car is good. I'm telling you, man, this car is good. You are happy. But when they talk about the things of God, what do you say? Oh, now pastor wants our money. Now when it comes to the things of God, you are not happy. When they come of the things of the world, you are happy. That means the world is still the greatest in your life. And that can be Hosea can be anything. It can even be selfish. You know, the things which hinder you to do the things of God. But Isaiah, when Hosea died, he saw the king. And when Hosea died in your life, you'll see the king. Brethren, let me tell you the story of the disciple. You know, the disciple walked with Jesus Christ. When Jesus fed 5,000 people, they said, this is the man we need to go with because he can make food out of nothing. 5,000 people ate and everyone went off satisfied and everyone was happy and they were saying, this is the man, this is the man, this is the man. You know? They were still looking. One day he called Lazarus from the dead. And you know, people did not believe. It's the resurrection and the life. And he called Lazarus from the dead and said, Lazarus, come out. Then the disciples say, this is the man. Even if I die, what next? He will call me and I will come back to life again. I tell they walk with, but every day Jesus spoke to them and told them, I'm going to die. The third day I will rise again. I will resurrect from the dead the third day. They had. Did they? Yes, 3.5 years. But the Bible says when Jesus died, where did he find them? There were some two men, the disciples of Jesus, walking on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus drove by, and when he drove by, the Bible says they were discussing what has happened. And Jesus asked them, what is going on? He said, are you new in Jerusalem? You don't know what has happened? A great man, a powerful man has died. But they are telling us he has resurrected from the dead. What is this? You may believe in Jesus Christ, but what, you know what? You may believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you believe in him as a great man, a powerful man who did good deeds, but you don't believe in him as Jesus, the Son of God and the Lord of Lords. Do you believe in Jesus as the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, or you believe in him as a great prophet? Look at this young man here. And Jesus walked by them, and as they are walking, they are moving. And the Bible says, when they reached him, he's talking to them. He sat with them, and he opened them the scriptures. It's when they understood. He told them, don't you read? What did Moses say? What does the Bible say? He will die. And he disappeared from them. It's when they understood. Oh, he was the Lord. They are going back to search for him. And where was Peter and others? The Bible says he found them fishing. Now, let me tell you, my brothers in the Lord. The disciples 3.5 years walking with Jesus. When Jesus died, they had gone to fish. Hosea of fishing never died. When Jesus died, they say, we go to fish. Everyone say, I'm going to my work. What about you? What do you say? When they talk about Jesus, you say, we go? Or do you say, no, I'm going for my vacation. I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going here and there. What do you say? The Bible says, Hosea of fishing was living in their life for 3.5 years. And the Bible says Jesus found them fishing. And they ask, when he found them there, Jesus asked them a question. Did you catch anything? Do you know what they say? No. Since morning, nothing. And he told them, put your nets in the boat and cast it on the right. And they got a lot of fish. And Peter said to his friend, hello, do you know what is happening? And John told him, that's Jesus. And Peter ran away and went and met Jesus. Look at this. Thomas said this. When they told him Jesus has resurrected from the dead. What did Thomas say? This is what Thomas said. He said, unless I see with these eyes where the nail passed through, the ribs I won't accept. 3.5 years, Thomas is with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, his doubt, he was a doubting man. All this time he was doubting. We call him Doubting Thomas. Are you Doubting Thomas? Many people these days of our generation, many people are doubting the word of God. You read the word of God and say, mm-hmm, oh yes, that's what you said. But is that true? Okay, but oh no. How many times do you doubt the word of God you read? We keep on doubting the word of God. And that's why we get a lot of challenges. We keep on doubting. Hosea of doubting, is he living in your mind? Brothers and mercies on the Lord. The Bible say, Jesus, 40 days was on earth. Even at the last hour of his moment. Last hour. This is what the Bible say. When you read in the book of Acts, before he leave, he made emphasis. He told the disciple, go and wait on the upper room. But when the Spirit of God come upon you, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and foremost part of the... He did not say, when the Spirit of God come upon you, sit in this pew you are sitting. Where is your Jerusalem? This is your Jerusalem. Jerusalem is your neighbor, your friend, your wife, your sister, you know. My brothers and my sisters, what is your responsibility? Why you are here? It is we delaying Jesus to return because we are not ready to go. And God is calling you today. Who will go for us? Who? Are you going to say like Isaiah, yes, sir, I'm ready to go. My brothers, everything will pass away. The things we see. Did you know that? Sometimes when the Bible says these things will pass away and we look at the goodness of these things, the devil say, no, those things cannot pass away. I'm telling you, the world will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. And whatever you invested in the kingdom of God, you will see it. One day when you go to heaven, let me tell you something. You will be walking, going to heaven, and you hear some people shouting and saying, sing hallelujah, praise the Lord. And they are coming to meet somebody. But for you, have no one to meet you. Then you will ask, who are these people? Why are they meeting him, many people? And those people are telling him, thank you. Because you gave up everything. You sent your money. You did this. Because you preached to me, I'm here. And for you, you will be alone. You never preach to anybody. You will be just, you will be in heaven by grace, but you have no reward because you never worked. Now, who will give you the mansion in heaven? You alone. They should give you a smallest house like this one. Because you are alone, you never worked. Where is your reward? My brothers and my sisters, why I'm here? I'm here to tell you your responsibility. Either you're a student, either you're a teacher, either you're a doctor, either you're a wife, either you are what? Please remember your responsibility while you are here. Go. Will you say, today I'm ready to go, Pastor? Say, I'm here, send me, Lord. That is the word of the Lord. May God bless you. As you say, I am here, Lord, send me.
Thank you, Pastor Morris. We have, each of us have a responsibility, as he has said. And you and I need to consider that responsibility and respond as God would have us to. Let's stand. I want to invite each of you to stay for the meal. I'm going to ask a blessing on that meal. I'd ask Ida and Morris if you would work your way to the back so we can greet you on the way out. And listen, if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the first item on the agenda, that you might come to know him through faith. You might humble yourself before the Lord, recognizing that, you know what, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. Secondly, it is the issue that Pastor Morris spoke to us about. All of us have a responsibility. We've been looking at that in the book of Acts. You know, in that Isaiah chapter, Isaiah saw the Lord in his glory, and we need to see him as he is, the risen, triumphant King coming again. And he's placed each of us in specific places to make an impact for his name. Let's pray. Loving Father, I don't know how you've stirred hearts here today. Maybe it is a wake-up call for us, that we've been reminded again that we have a responsibility, a great privilege to live for your name, but a responsibility to proclaim. And Father, maybe it is that we've looked at our life and we've said, wow, we've missed this opportunity and this one and this one and this one. But maybe it is today that we're going to say, you know what, that's enough of that. Today, I am going to humble myself before God, recognize that he has given me my life, my breath, everything that I have. And I want to proclaim him, and I need to get this right. Father, for those hearts that are stirred in that way, just seal that conviction in their heart. And may they go humbly by your grace and live that out, wherever that would be. And Father, there may be some today here that have yet to trust in Christ, and they face an eternity, a Christless eternity in hell. And I pray that you would move them to understand that there is forgiveness, there's freedom there. Thank you for the ministry that for Pastor Morris and Ida that they brought to us today. May you bless, Father, as we partake of this meal. I pray that our conversation will be honoring to you, that we may go forth with the joy of the Lord on our hearts. Bless your people now. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.